You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
you gonna do?
Do you really think that?
Do you think it all?
Yeah. I've never met kids about
ain't
you.
Ain't giving up a second thought about you, no. Ghetto people.
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell
ghetto
me.
People.
You gotta take a look at yourself, yeah. Ghetto people. With your life
running like a red disease,
running like a red disease. Ghetto people,
stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, young. You got to learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters. In the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet, it gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement: Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted. And we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at Time for an Awakening.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family. Hope everything is well for you today. Hope you had a good day yesterday. I hope you did it safely. If you really feel you had to get out there and other family members and so forth, I hope you did it safely. Many parts of the country, it was a beautiful day. I know here in Atlanta was a beautiful day, so you could have took your celebration or at least the eating part outside and made it safe for you, you know. But there's definitely no doubt that after this session, there will be an increase in infections. And if there's an increase in infections, there's more likely an increase in deaths. So, and it's just reality, you know. But other parts of the world have dealt with this. I mean, they don't maybe not celebrate, you know, the taking of people's land, Thanksgiving or misgiving as Mama Marimba, and I once again thank her for that, you know, for sending me the information. I had it before, you know, because she's done this for a few years, but it was updated and so forth, and I really thank Mama Marimba for that. But, yeah. So I hope you had a chance to do all the things you should do, must do, can do, and will do, and hope weather was accommodating, and if you had to do it and you had to go and you had to be there, just like this weekend, hope that it's the same thing. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. If you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that. And then there will be programs that are dated and titled. Other program we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Once again, this program is 11 a.m., 1 p.m. Eastern times. All times are going to give our Eastern times, Monday and Wednesday and Friday. On Mondays, Monday evening from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds, Public Affairs Programming with Brother Wahad Ahmed from Philadelphia. Followed by from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Moye Kamban and her daughter Nataki Kamban. And then from 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey from 9 to 10 on Mondays with Incobra. Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers on Tuesdays from 8 to 10. And yesterday, Thursday, I'm not sure if they broadcast or not. It's a program, the title, part of the title is Melanin. I'll get the correct title, brothers and sisters. You know I will, to promote that program here on Time for an Awakening Media on Thursdays at 7.
And then, well, if it's Friday, and today is Friday, so at 8 p.m. this evening, it will be time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard at 8 p.m. And then Saturday at 4 p.m. to 6, 4 to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then at 7 p.m. from 7 to 9, the Elders, the Sankofa Elders Council, the Sankofa Elders Council with host Alfonso Watkins. And then Sunday at 7 p.m. on Sunday, once again, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Nick Richard. And of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. And do it today. Today is Buy Black Friday. No, it's not Black Friday. No, it's Buy Black Friday. Try your best to spend money with us on this day and every day, really. The largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is We Buy Black. And Africa for the Africans. Africa for the Africans. Brother Monty Taimba will be returning soon in a couple of days from his trip to Tanzania. Can't wait. Can't wait to see the photos, the video. I'll be announcing that and have him on the program to talk about it. He left here on the 20th, returns on the 30th in Tanzania. He has other trips. He has a trip still scheduled for December 24th to January 5th. Once again, Africa is not America. Africa has dealt with this situation, this pandemic. They have it under control. He would not bring people into a situation that was not under control. So, Ghana, December 24th to January 5th. Because I still believe that this virus will not be under control probably until the spring. Speaking of spring, April 2nd to April 12th, Senegal and Gambia. And then May 24th to June 4th, Ghana. And then November 19th through the 29th, once again, Tanzania. And I am planning on being on that trip and hope you will join me. That's Africa for the African. Everything on the website, all that you need is on the website, all the paperwork, all the directions and so forth, the shots and everything like that to make it a trip of a lifetime and all the information. You'll see a bunch of photos. But if you want to see photos, go to Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos, go to YouTube.com/Bomani 2007, a previous tours. Baba Rinoko, Dr. Rinoko Rashidi, his trip is October. Well, he has a trip first to Kemet. That is August 1st through the 14th to Kemet. August 1st through the 14th. And then the trip that was rescheduled is October 5th through the 16th, going to Uganda and Rwanda. Going to Uganda and Rwanda, October 5th through the 16th. Also, too, Baba Rinoko, we can put this in. He has a webinar today. Let me pull that up. It is today, this evening. And there might be some pauses, brothers and sisters. Just please bear with me as I bring things up on the computer. African Presence in Asia webinar today, Friday the 27th, and tomorrow, Saturday the 28th. The African Presence in Asia, a journey to the East with Rinoko Rashidi. It is a Zoom lecture series, 90 minutes, and with question and answers. Today, Friday, is this evening at 8 p.m. to 9:30 Eastern Time. 8 p.m. to 9:30 Eastern Time. Tomorrow, it is 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And, of course, you know Rinoko is out west, so that's early. Well, 8 o'clock ain't early, but hey. And it's free for patrons, but it's $25 for both sessions. And here's what they're going to be looking at. that African people, black people, are the aborigines of Asia, and that subsequent and period migrations and movements of African people into Asia occurred throughout the antiquity. The impact and existence of the African presence in the human cultures and classical civilizations of early Asia. The African element and underpinnings of the major religions and philosophical movements in Asian antiquity. The enslavement and subjugation of African people in Asia. African people in Asia today. This is going to be a powerful information and revealing inspirational look at the presence of African people in a part of the world that we seldom explore. And you don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss it. And I hope you can join it. Baba Rinoko Rashidi. And so what you do is, of course, go to purchase tickets, go to eventbrite.com and enter Rinoko. Go to eventbrite.com and enter Rinoko. R-U-N-O-K-O, Runoko. And in the subject field, for more information, you put, for more information, you want to contact him on his email, which is Runoko@hotmail.com. Runoko@hotmail.com. And you'll, you know, once you do that, they'll give you the link and you can participate in this dynamic piece here. Also, to give him a call at 323-803-8663. 323-803-8663 or Rinoko@hotmail.com. Yep. All right. Where we at now? All right. We got Rinoko in, so we might as well go ahead and talk about Habesha. Habesha. Incorporated.org. The brothers and sisters are doing the work here and on the continent, particularly here in Atlanta and in Ghana. And Habesha Incorporated.org. Please go online, check them out. And if you agree, like I agree, they deserve to be supported. It is a Pan-African organization that cultivates leadership in youth and families through practical experiences in culture education, sustainable agriculture, entrepreneurship, and holistic health and technology. Its programs, Habesha Works, that is learning sustainable agriculture, Black to Our Roots, sustainable seeds, urban green jobs, and the golden growers. And the Kashi Project in Ghana, it's beautiful. It is up. It's supposed to be done in October of last month of this year when he started. But, you know, once again, it's about money. And they need and they deserve to be supported. Habesha Incorporated.org. The Ledge Project. The Ledge Group. TheLedgeGroup.com. Brothers and sisters, go to TheLedgeGroup.com. The Ledge. Ledge stands for Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. They are doing serious work dealing with food, water, clothing, and shelter. Food, water, clothing, the basic essentials of life. There's 12 active projects on the continent. There's 12 active projects on the continent and in six countries. 172 employed globally and 260 members of the Ledge Group. TheLedgeGroup.com. Go online. Also, too, go to Facebook and The Grand Rising. The Facebook, The Grand Rising. All right. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar located in the West End. I'm quite sure they had a pop-up last few years since they've been open. Pop-up means they just spam. On that day, they have a bunch of vendors that you can buy from here on Buy Black Friday. That's right. That's what we should start calling it heavily within our community, not Black Friday. Although the name of the program today is Black Friday because we're going to talk about that. But it should be instilled in us that it is Buy Black Friday. So check out Wadada's located at 878 Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard in the West End, across the street from the West End Mall. And check them out today at Wadada's. Or give them a call at 404-444-1635. That's 404 444-1635. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, once again, it's by Black Friday. So go check Mama Nia out. She has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, figurines, T-shirts, and so forth. You might want to go there and buy a book for Kwanzaa for your daughter, your son, your grandson's granddaughter, nieces and nephews. A book for Kwanzaa has for Zuwadi. Hey, good idea. You know it is. The same thing at Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. So both of these bookstores, go there. Medu Bookstore is 404-346-3263. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore is 404-519-8107. 519-8107. Please, brothers and sisters, support them. That's what it's all about today. Ulu, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Us lifting us. They had a Thursday night broadcast last night. Yeah, I know it was thanks or misgivings. You know, if I broadcast on Thursdays, I'd be broadcasting just like any other time. Believe me. You know, my days are Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. I try to be as consistent as I can be. BlackTalkRadio.com is where you'll hear us lifting us on Thursdays from 9 to 10. Us lifting us. And then you go to blogtalkradio.com/ULU. And the name of the program is Dare to Win. And but if you want to call and listen or call and make comments or questions or concern, you dial 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. That's us lifting us. Thursday night broadcast from 9 to 10. Sanjay Dash Haiti, Sister Gabrielle Union, who's Aurelia, rather, excuse me, Gabrielle Union. Sister Gabrielle Aurelia is doing outstanding work in the northeastern portion of Haiti. Go to Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E dash Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I.org. Sanjay dash Haiti.org. She's doing outstanding work, and we appreciate her efforts. Sanjay dash Haiti.org. Ackerman Institute, Brother Baba Baruti, Mama Yabaruti, been doing beautiful work for our people for quite some time, raising our young warriors. Ackerman Institute, make check a money order out to Ackerman Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia 30310. If you want to use Cash App or PayPal on a Cash App piece, it's the $ Yah, Y-A-A, the letter M, and then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I. And make your donation consistently for Ackerman Institute. Yep, that's right. So, the Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Inye Sesim of Daily. Well, then, yeah, no, let me get these in. Okay. Yeah. Okay, I did Renoco. And, okay. I got some announcements to make, and I want to thank Brother Mickey Dean. Brother Mickey Dean is a good brother, good friend, and let me see, okay, now we're going back that way. Like I said, bear with me, I'm trying to make sure I have what we need to talk about here, and okay. No, that's some Black Friday. That ain't no buy Black Friday. Liberated Minds. Liberated Minds, my good sister Queen. She has liberated minds, and it wouldn't be here without him. And that is a conversation, is a dream come true for me. Nana Amos Wilson is one of the biggest influences that sparked and inspired her journey. So in honor of this work, and show how it is. She has a, every black parent and educator should know his work. And that's the truth. So she has a Black Power Convention, Blueprint for Black Power, Dr. Amos Wilson Convention. And Nana Wilson laid the blueprint. He did the work. Now we must profile those who are building on this illustrious legacy, engaging the blueprint throughout in action, through thought and actions. That's going to be Sunday, the 17th of January, 2021. Sunday. And there'll, of course, be more. And I'd like to try to get her on. And that's going to be educating our children. The power is in the activation. Blueprint for Black Power. She has a number of good people on the program. So that's going to be beautiful. And so we'll talk with her about that. Today, Brother Mickey Dean, you know, my good brother with the National Black United Front in Kansas City, Missouri. Had him on the program a number of times, and we'll have him again, I'm quite sure. They're having a Reparations Now People's Webinar that is 7 p.m. tonight. And they stole us, they sold us, they owe us. Ashe, you know, and we can't wait. You know, a number of people who are going to be participating. Of course, one of them, of course, is the chairperson of the National Black United Front, Brother Kofi Taharka, Viola Plummer of the December 12th Movement, Brother Charles Barron, New York State Assembly, Larry Holmes, Workers' World Party, Charles Jenkins, the New York President Coalitions for Black Trade Unions, co-chair Cam Howard, Kamunyu Brown, who is the December 12th Movement also, Saladin Muhammad, Black Workers for Justice, Larry Hamm, chairperson of People's Organization for Progress. So you have a number of people who are presenting tonight. So this tonight, join us on a critical webinar. They stole us, they sold us, they owe us. Post-election fight for reparations now. Let me see how you can get this. No pre-registration needed. Okay. To watch, it's https://bit.ly/reparationsnow. That's bit.ly/now. That's to watch it on YouTube and in Facebook, the December 12th Movement. The website is d12movement.com. And there is a number for information. It's 718-398-1766. That's 718-398-1766. Why? We can't wait. Reparations now. Yep. So, and now we're going to go to another piece. Like I said, thank you for bearing with me as I try to find this and going bouncing back and forth. Yeah. Okay. Where is that at? Okay, right here. It's by Black Weekend. This is the 8th annual Buy Black Empowerment Initiative. Buy Black Weekend today and tomorrow. For more information, go to www.buyblack.org. That's buyblack.org. You know, it's a family-friendly free event. You know, all kinds of good information, opportunity to look at products and items to be bought. Once again, let us begin to really be conscious and sincere about helping and supporting one another. Buy Black Weekend. I want to thank my good brother, Brother Mickey Dean. That's us today and tomorrow. 2 days of interactive online shopping, entertainment, contests, and giveaways supporting American African-owned businesses. Buy Black Weekend. Ashe. Okay. What's next for Brother Oshie? The Enye Sasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Enye Sasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Yeah, there's a Inye Sasim number two. I got to get that before the year is out, you know, get that around. I know I'll see him soon, Baba Baruti or Mama Yabaruti. Or I just go by there, pick it up, you know. If I'm going to try to do that because I want to talk to him and see if I can get him on. You know, we've always had, the last time we tried to do something, there was an issue. And so I would love to have Baba Baruti on. And I would only play the intro and no other announcements. We just go right into the conversation. May not even do a break. Because, you know, once I have the opportunity, I'm going to take full advantage. Because this brother is just so busy and he's prolific. He is a prolific writer. But more importantly, he's an educator. He is an educator of our young people. That's what he is. Yesterday was my mother's birthday on Thanksgiving. She would have been 94 years old yesterday. But yesterday was the day of misgivings. And so it is what it is. But November 26th. The love that we exchange, let it last forever. Let love inspire, encourage, strengthen, and nurture us. Queen Afua. After our vision has been claimed and made a mission without rival, after our truest talents are revealed through an honest striving for independence, after our differences are understood as complementarities and not oppositional forces, after our imperfections are discovered and neutralized and growth does not induce chaos, after our bodies know each other and want us, and want has matured into need, and want has matured into need. After our children have multiplied far beyond our immediate genes, after our wealth becomes the family we keep in thought, word, and deed, after we continue moving in the way of warriors, healers, even as peers retire in defeat, after we measure among true elders being asked permission to speak, only after we know each other in this way, does love come? Ashe. Affirm, I love my compliment. Affirm, I love my compliment. November 27th. The task of nation building is an intentional and continuing process. And those persons and institutions that have committed themselves to this task must be assessed not necessarily in terms of success or failure, but in terms of their contributions to this process. Kwesi Kondo. Social institutions, the framework within which group and individual behavior is molded and directed. Another distraction. And directed are the guide to all the other aspects of culture because of their primary role in systematically sustaining a people. They preserve a people's natural characteristics in the reality they created to serve their interests. These institutions have always been the most important socially created self-regulating instruments through which African people identify and socialize themselves. They are the way in which we have always organized ourselves spiritually, psychologically, and physically. They are what have allowed us to continually to model and recreate ourselves in the image of our ancestors, even in times of great difficulty and disruption. Everything done within a social institution, whether completely successful in its given mission or not, must be measured, not based on its success or failure, but as it is intent. What was the intent? Any assessment of its success or failure, given a positive intent, may be determined how to make it more effective on the next try. In this context, failures are not failures. They are simply lessons. Ashe. Affirm, I measure success based on sincere effort. Affirm, I measure success based on sincere effort. November 28th. A nation can rise no higher than its women. Elijah Muhammad. Civilization comes from the root word civil. That's why the Caucasian has never brought civilization anywhere. Never. Never. Because they have never been civil. Civilization comes from the root word civil, which speaks to a society defined by the respect that its members have for each other. Unlike the level of mechanical technology or domination, which is the template from which Europeans assess civilization, African people define civilization based on how people treat others and the priority given individual over things. Every society is not a civilization. We should understand that the treatment, character, and freedom and vision of a society's women are incredibly important indicators of whether or not it is a civilization. However, we should add that a nation can rise no higher than its children. And its children can rise no higher than their mothers. The reason is that civilization is a measure of the quality of life of its inhabitants, especially its most defenseless ones. And children are the most defenseless. Women have the knowledge and the capacity to survive, but children have not yet learned these skills. They require an extensive socialization in order to be able to successfully do so. Of course, we know that the mother is the first teacher, so she is not discounted in this equation. But in a world where the most defenseless are the most destroyed, we especially have to consider our children as vital factors in defending a civilization and, therefore, the heights to which a nation can rise. Affirm, nothing is more important than the African family. Affirm, nothing is more important than the African family. The Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Today's discussion, Black Friday. Now, you know, I know on Dr. Rogers' show, I wish Brother West would give us a call on Dr. Rogers' show. Brother West threw out there, and some people have heard this, that Black Friday, that term, was started back in our captivity after the Thanksgiving. I don't know if they wanted to sell us off or, you know, but there was a 2-for-1 sale, you know, something to that effect, you know, on that Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. You know, I just said, you know, I heard about it. I fact checked it and there's no such, you know, there's nothing there. You know, but what I have found out about Black Friday, and I've been doing this for quite a few years, and I did this even before I did this program, because one of the things that I know is that the word black in this society is negative, is not good. The word white, it's just, once again, you have to understand the European mindset. They label themselves as white and the definitions for white. Look up Ozzie Davis. You know Ozzie Davis, married to Ruby Dee. He did a piece and a poem that the English language is my enemy. The English language is my enemy. He mentions the fact that the word black is very negative, very derogatory. Muhammad Ali did it. Same thing. You know, black is bad. You know, blackballed. You know, there's a whole litany of, that's why when they say that somebody, you know, something happened to somebody, just like Colin Kaepernick, he wasn't blackballed. He was whiteballed. Because they remember white folks running the NFL. But of course, black by intent and promoted, just like the word slavery by intent is constantly out there and put into your mind. in a derogatory sense and by definition, because that's what they want to instill in us. Why do you think we behave the way that we do? It's not by happenstance. It is programmed. It is intentional. You are intentionally to hate black. I know that we, we used to call ourselves an European. Now, let's be real. The European called us colored. The European called us Negroes. The European called us niggers. We might have, said nigger. And of course, we all know that it became a term of endearment. Not really. What's up, my nigga? Hey, there's some cool ass niggas. It's a word that I don't use. I haven't used it on this program. I've said the word, of course, but I don't use that word to describe us. And I don't use bitch to describe our women. I wish we wouldn't do it. I wish we would fight back hard on it. I wish we could, as elders and those of us who are serious in academic, not the sold out Negroes, but us who are serious in academia, would sit down with the hip hop, the millennials, or whoever else, and have this conversation. There should never be any intergenerational damn gap. We are one, and we need each other. But I know that some of them in that group feel that they don't want to hear nothing about from your old folks, because a lot of them ain't nothing but a bunch of sellouts. But then, so are they, when they describe each other in such mean and demeaning, derogatory and slanderous words and ways, to the point of killing each other. I was listening to, there's a black news radio. I'm quite sure it's in your area. And they were talking about this one brother who was a rapper. And he constantly used demeaning and derogatory terms in his rap. And this brother's been in prison for 20 years, doing a 30-year bid. That somebody got killed, and he kept talking about kill. But I can't remember who is going to bat for him. I can't remember the other rapper who's going to bat for him, supporting him in him getting a new trial, fair trial, and being released, because someone came up and admitted killing that person. So he didn't do it. But that has been a case. Somebody come, that's, there's been many cases where a brother has been convicted of a crime that he or she did not commit. And even when they find out who did it, they're very reluctant, because a lot of the district attorneys don't want, to know or to admit that they lied, that they put somebody innocent behind bars, or put them on death row. Happens all the time. Happens all the time in this kind of system. And so, being black. That's why the other day we talked about, are we African or are we black? That's why I consistently push, we are not black. Black is a color. We are African. We are African people. And I know the word is being interchanged. But those who are black, many of those who are black, don't want to be African, don't want to socialize or be associated with Africa. That's why I'm saying, either you African or you ain't. And I maintain that we are African. Black Friday. Interesting piece. I'm going to read this piece, The Term of Black Friday. And, of course, you know, the term started the day after Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving became a national holiday, Lincoln, which was interesting when I was reading about it. I don't know. You know, once again, a lot of stuff that you do read, you may or may not know that it is true or not, you know. But Lincoln started Thanksgiving as a national holiday. And I think some time, immediate time after that, went out and massacred an indigenous population. There's so many massacres and Trail of Tears and thievery. In fact, I just saw a piece where a lot of indigenous people are going to go try to reclaim some of their land, and good luck with that. But, you know, Lincoln did that, and then there were some problems and issues as it started to evolve on the day after Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving itself has it related to commerce, because once again, this is a capitalistic society. The bottom line is about money. It is about money. And so the date was changed from last Thursday to the third Thursday. The third Thursday of November would be Thanksgiving. The third Thursday, or the fourth Thursday, or something like that, to give more time for, Christmas shopping, so they can make sure that you can spend that money. Get out there and spend that money. And that's the bottom line. And so the term Black Friday. Now, there was there's once again, black in the society is not a good word. If there's something associated with black, it is sinister. It is evil. It is bad. One of the first Black Fridays was when these two dudes tried to corner the market on gold when Grant was president. They tried to corner the market on gold. And, you know, that didn't work out too well. For centuries, the adjective black has been applied to days upon which calamities occur. Many events, as it relates to Caucasians, many events has been described as Black Friday, although the most significant such event in American history was the Panic of 1869, which occurred when financiers Jay Gould and James Fisk took advantage of their connections with the Grant administration in an attempt to corner the market on gold. When Grant learned of this manipulation, he ordered the Treasury to release large amounts of gold, which halted the run and caused prices to drop by 18%. Fortunes were made and fortunes were lost in a single day. And even Grant's own brother-in-law, Abel Corbin, was ruined. The earliest known use of Black Friday refers to the day after Thanksgiving, occurring in the journal Factory Management and Maintenance for November 1951 and again in 1952. Here in reference to the practice of workers calling in sick on the day after Thanksgiving in order to have a four-day weekend. However, just like the blue, the cops calling in a blue day, you know, yeah. So it was like Black Friday, they called in sick, trying to get a four-day weekend. However, this use does not appear to have caught on. Around the same time, this term Black Friday and Black Saturday came to be used by the police in Philadelphia and in Rochester, New York, to describe the crowds and the traffic congestion accompanying the start of the Christmas shopping season in 1961. The city and merchants of Philadelphia attempted to improve conditions, and public relations experts recommending rebranding the days. They said, no, don't use that word. See, the police, they just, this is black because it's bad. The congestion is bad. The traffic is bad. Everything's out of control. They said, no, use Big Friday and Big Saturday. But those terms were quickly forgotten as well. The use of the phrase spread slowly, first appearing in the New York Times on November 29th, 1975, in which it is still refers specifically to the busiest shopping day and traffic day of the year in Philadelphia. Although it soon became more widespread, the Philadelphia Inquirer reported in 1985, 10 years later, that retailers in Cincinnati and Los Angeles were still not aware of the term Black Friday. As the phrase gained national attention in the 80s. That's what I'm saying. I'm damn near 70. I don't remember no damn Black Friday back then. This is a recent phrase because it's part of accounting. As the phrase gained national attention in the 80s, the merchants objecting to the use of a divisive term referred to one of the most important shopping days of the year, suggested an alternative deviation that retailers traditionally operated at a financial loss for most of the year, January through November, and made their profit during the holiday season beginning on the day after Thanksgiving. When this was recorded in the financial records, once common accounting practices use red ink to show negative amounts and black ink to show positive amounts. Black Friday, under this theory, is the beginning of the period when retailers would no longer be in the red, instead taking in the year's profits. The earliest known published reference to the explanation occurs in the Philadelphia Inquirer in November of 1981. And of course, it has been huge ever since. In fact, in today's news, they said that people are spending. And I'm like, really? A lot of people are out of work. There are people who are not out of work and people who have serious discretionary incomes because they're going to be spending billions of dollars. And it seems like some merchants, no, not a lot, because some have already gone out of business. That's why I am pushing Buy Black Friday. And part of Buy Black Friday is not just goods, but services. Go to a restaurant. Find out if there's some pop-ups that I mentioned earlier. Do that. Go wherever you can to support online. Find it online to support one another. Now, online shopping, just like watching the news this morning, not very many people were waiting outside. There was no rush. Hey, man, this Black Friday thing has been really crazy, hasn't it? You've seen it. You've seen the mad rush to go get those deals, those flat screen TVs, the latest toys and so forth. People are fighting over them. In the last 10 years, 15, about 7-8 people have been killed. 7-8 people have been killed and hundreds injured in madness over Black Friday. Over the concept and the idea. Man. See, the bottom line is because of capitalism, they got to push and promote because there are so many businesses understand that it is the Christmas holidays that I will make my money, that I'm in the red at this time, and I want to be in the what? Black. I'm going to tell you what. When I come back, I'll be more in the black. I'm going to take this break. When I come back from the break, we'll have more discussion. You can join this discussion at 215-490-9832. That's 215-490-9832. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. You stay with us. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media, once again, this program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. All times are going to give our Eastern times. On Mondays from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia with Brother Ahad Ahmed. From 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Cambon and her daughter, Nataki Cambon. And from 9 to 10, Conversations Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. And then on Thursdays, once again, I got to get the name of that new program. And I know it has melanin, something in the title, but I'll get that. And then on Fridays, if it's 8 p.m. on Friday, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturdays from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then at 7, from 7 to 9, Sankofa, the Elders Council of Sankofa, will host Alfonso Watkins. And then on Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. Back to the discussion at hand. Yeah. And, once again, the whole idea is consumerism. And I understand that in a capitalistic society, that's what makes it happen, you know? That's what makes it happen. You know, Thanksgiving's relationship to Christmas shopping led to a controversy in the 1930s. Retail stores would have liked to have a longer shopping season, but no store wanted to break with the tradition to start advertising before Thanksgiving. For this reason, in 1939, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, FDR, issued a presidential proclamation proclaiming Thanksgiving to be the fourth Thursday in November rather than the last Thursday, meaning in some years, 1 week earlier, in order to lengthen the Christmas shopping season. Most people adapted to FDR's change, which was later reinforced by an act of Congress, but many continue to celebrate Thanksgiving on the traditional day, which is the last, and some even call it the Franksgiving. Okay. The analyst, Marshall Cohen, of the NPD Group, claimed in 2020 that Black Friday is declining in favor of online shopping and that the coronavirus pandemic has accelerated this process. The pandemic also resulted in holiday deals being offered over a longer period of time, even as early as October. You've seen a pre-Black Friday commercials. I know you have. I know I have. Christmas being promoted earlier and earlier. It's the bottom line. It's the bottom line. You know, and of course, in the United States, the deaths from Black Friday, as I mentioned earlier, many people who would, in fact, some of the stores, my daughter worked in retail, my youngest daughter, and it became not just early or just starting at midnight all the way through. Some said 8 o'clock, right after your dinner, right after you finish watching that particular game, you know, you could go shopping and take advantage of the items that were in the stores as early as possible. But that's the Western world. That is the Western world, the chaos that would have ensued. In 2008, a crowd of approximately 2,000 shoppers in Valley Stream, New York, waited outside for 5 a.m. opening of a local Walmart. As opening time approached, the crowd grew anxious, and when the doors were open, the crowd pushed forward, breaking the doors down. A 34-year-old employee was trampled to death.
The shoppers did not appear concerned with the victim's fate, expressing refusal to halt the stampede when other employees attempted to intervene and help the injured employee, complaining that they had been waiting in the cold and were not willing to wait any longer. I don't mean to laugh, but you know, damn. Shoppers had begun assembling as early as 9 p.m. in the evening before. Even when police arrived in an attempt to render aid to the individual, shoppers continued to pour in, shoving and pushing the officers as they made their way into the store. Several other people incurred minor injuries, including a pregnant woman who had to be taken to the hospital. The incident may be the first case of death in 2008 occurring during a Black Friday sale, according to the National Retail Federation. We are not aware of any other circumstances where a retail employee has died working on the day after Thanksgiving. And it could be working the day of Thanksgiving. On the same day, two people were fatally shot during an altercation at Toys R Us in Palms Desert, California. And there's a number of situations that they've chronicled here in this piece. People who have done some crazy things, you know. But the real thing is going to be in the cyber piece. That's where it's going, you know, because of the pandemic. That's where it's going. It's your ability to, just like I just mentioned, the buy Black Friday is basically virtual. It's virtual because of the pandemic. The Cyber Monday neologism invented in 2005 by the National Retail Federation's division, shop.org, refers to the Monday immediately following Black Friday based on a trend that retailers began to recognize in 2003 and 2004. So this began in 2005. Retailers noticed that many customers were too busy to shop over Thanksgiving weekend and did not find what they were looking for. Shopped for bargains online that Monday from home or work in 2010, it was reported. Thanksgiving weekend offered a strong start, especially as Black Friday sales continued to grow in popularity. For the second consecutive year, Black Friday was the highest day for retail traffic during the holiday season, followed by Thanksgiving and Cyber Monday, the highest year overall increase in visits took place on Cyber Monday and Black Friday's growth of 16 and 17%. Respectively. In 2013, Cyber Monday sales grew by 18% over the previous year, hitting a record $1.7 billion with an average value of at least $128 being spent. In 2014, Cyber Monday was the busiest day of the year, with sales exceeding $2 billion and 17% from the previous year. Is reported that in Forbes magazine, entrepreneurs claim on December 3rd, 2013, Cyber Monday, the online counterpart to Black Friday, has been gaining unprecedented popularity to the point where cyber sales are continuing on throughout the week. Peter Greenberg, travel editor and CBS News reporter, advised, if you want a real deal on Black Friday, stay away from the mail. Black Friday and Cyber Monday are all part of Cyber Weekend. Not stay away from the mail. Like I said, on the piece I've seen that they're talking about, once again, the online shopping, and they predict that billions of dollars will be spent, billions, around this particular time. And I know there are some people, particularly us, who are lost, have lost jobs. You've seen the number of people, and it wasn't because it was Thanksgiving, who are going to food banks. There are people for the first time in probably decades or in their lives needing food. We'll wait in line for hours to get food, to get a food basket of some sort. Yeah. Yeah. They have some statistical stuff down here showing what happens, you know. But I tell you, you know, it's interesting that how this thing evolved. And once again, it is about trying to get as a retailer. And our brothers and sisters who are in business, they need to be in the black as well. It is vital for them to maintain their business. Some of them had to close their business because of the pandemic. Once again, the pandemic started back in April, even before then, but things started to close down in March, rather, in March. Some tried to hang on. Some tried to develop different methods or ways. But some just, they had what they had to start the business up. They didn't have additional monies to buy things to try, like the little you've seen outside. They got the heaters. They got some got plastic domes where you could go into and dine, you know, other methods. No, they don't have that. They are relying on people to help find ways to patronize them. And that's what we should do. The bigger stores, they're getting theirs. They're getting theirs. You know. And because of the pandemic and the fact that you don't have the overcrowding, you know, we people waiting in line to physically go to particularly the big stores. The Walmarts, the Targets, the, you know, the big shop, the big stores that offer, you know, these things. And the fact that because of that, hopefully there was no death. There were no injuries. People stayed distanced. They went in. They got what they wanted. They seen it being advertised. They got what they wanted. They went back home. There were no people lining up outside for hours in the cold and then stampeding once the hour the door was supposed to open, you know, to buy the latest toy, gadget, you know. Yeah. And, but that is the history. That is the history. So we must understand that as the history. If you want to join this conversation, you can. Seems like nobody wants to join this conversation. Just want to listen. At 215-490-9832. That's 215-490-9832. And we can talk about Black Friday or any other thing you want to talk about. Any other thing you want to talk about. I want to make sure that, you know, these. That was pretty loud. Yeah, what was that? Ultimate Fighting was called off. Good. You know, oh, man. The Baltimore-Pittsburgh game wasn't played last night because of coronavirus. And the Baltimore-Pittsburgh game, because Pittsburgh's undefeated, will probably not be played Sunday, especially since the quarterback, Lamar Jackson, has tested positive for coronavirus. And that's going to happen because they can't get into a bubble like the NBA did and the National Hockey League did. They have to rely on the discipline of their members. Discipline is self-imposed order. When You are told you got to protect yourselves. And then only thing that you do, you stay home. You don't go out. If you do, you make sure that you wear the protections, a mask for show, stay distance. So, you know, all those things. And you stay home and then you go to practice. You practice. Then you play the game, you know. But if you, and I know these are young people, these are young men, and they got money and things are happening. But discipline is required. Some are talking about punishing them because of the lack of discipline. Punishing those players because they got the virus. When the virus is all around. But they were relying on them to be disciplined. Discipline is self-imposed order. They're relying on them to not put themselves in a position or in an atmosphere where that could happen to them. And there's no doubt about it. Yesterday, there will be some people who will get coronavirus. Because they went to an event or a dinner. And it could be their family. Nobody but their family. But maybe they haven't seen them in a while. Maybe they haven't been around in a while. But they were invited. They know the food gonna be good. It's gonna be delish. All of it. And they said, we got to go. People are willing to take the chance. I mean, the CDC or whoever else were giving information out about not traveling, not going here or there, not having the dinner with people, even though they're your family members that you haven't seen in quite some time. Because how the virus is contracted, people could be asymptomatic. That means they are showing no symptoms of the virus. They're just like every day. They're talking, they're laughing, they're not coughing. There's no, you know, fever. There's none of that. I mean, you and I know, I don't know if you know about you, but everywhere, if you do go someplace public, you know, my grandsons play basketball. And so, you know, especially my young one, I got to take him to his games and practices and so forth. And they test you when you go in. You know, I don't let them put the testing meter to my head. I let them put it to my wrist, turn it over, turn your wrist, just like when they take a pulse. You know, they can take your temperature by your wrist. Just say, no. Don't, you know, put your hand, say, no. Oh, thank you. Just here, right there. There you go. You know, and then bam. You can take your temperature by your wrist and put it to your head. And so they all do that. And of course, if you had a temperature, 98.6 is the average temperature. But if you are 99 something or definitely over 100, then no, you will not be admitted. You will not be admitted. Especially if you accelerate it. By that I mean you're 103, 104, 105 temperature. Whew! Man, 105, you might, you know, stroke. So they do it to make sure that those, in at least, they don't have a fever, which is an indication of the first stages. And of course they, you know, just like, I don't know if you've watched football games or, you know, or even, I'm not sure about the college basketball games yet, but a lot of those college basketball games, a lot of schools had to postpone games, particularly maybe even cancel those games because they're early on non-conference. If you looked at the scores, you see many of the big schools played smaller schools, and the reason why that happens in this before the season starts, so those smaller schools can get some money. Everything, Brother Oshie, is all about money, right? Yeah, it is. We in America, it's all about money. So those smaller schools, they schedule a date with a large school, a Big Ten conference, a Pac-10 conference, the SEC, the ACC, so forth and so on, and they get dusted. The women's game, my daughter made a mention about South Carolina beat somebody, South Carolina women, they beat somebody 100-something to 10 or something like that. Yeah, you know. But they got money. They got money for taking that trip or having them come to their place, more than likely for them to come to their place. They paid them for the travel and so forth because they're trying to get their season going. See, that's why, and to me, that's why, you know, I'm about to throw in on the same program my disdain for the National Collegiate Athletic Association, the NCAA. I have deep disdain for the NCAA because these players in college football and college basketball, particularly the big conferences. I ain't talking about all of them. The big conference specifically, where the big, you know, once again, I'm old enough to remember when there were no brothers in the South. None playing. I ain't saying no brothers in the South. I'm saying there were no brothers in the South playing for those Southern universities of Mississippi, Arkansas, Tennessee, Alabama, you name it, no. Texas, no. And now, when you look at them, it's predominantly us, particularly at the skill positions, even at quarterback. And yet, they don't get paid. When I consider that the coaches make more money in a state than any other person in that state publicly, I ain't saying privately, but publicly, they are the highest paid person in that state publicly. They're making millions. And not only, let's say they make $5 million, $6 million, $7 million, up to $10 million, maybe even more, because some do, make that much in a salary or more. We're talking about capitalism, ain't we? Yes, we are. Or more. And they have additional revenue streams. They have a TV program. They have a radio program. They advertise products locally. They advertise products nationally. The apparel companies, Nike, Reebok, Puma, whatever, pay them for their athletes to wear those products. The athletes don't get a damn thing, not monetarily, but yeah, they get a college scholarship and they get a chance to go to this great institution. I saw something like that the other day. I just wanted to throw up. It's Caucasian justifying and how great their institution is, how great their facilities are. And you know why? Because of all the money they get. Sonny Vaccaro. Sonny Vaccaro was the first one to push this advertising. He worked for Nike. He pushed this idea for these schools to take these brands and others and I think he even worked for Adidas at one time as well. And they, of course, that's what they did. And these coaches got paid. They got paid. And the young men, even young women, had to wear these products, had to wear this apparel by Nike and Reebok and whoever else. while the coaches consistently made big money. And then they showed the facilities that they made because of all this money. They did a comparison between captivity or enslavement and sports, particularly college sports. Or major sports in general, because they have a combine where they measure you, just like they did in our captivity, the Caucasians looking over the men, how strong they are, how big they are, how high they can jump, how fast they are, how their reflexes are, so they can draft them, so they can pick them and put them into their program or draft them for their team so they can pay big money to them in professional sports. Bill Roden, one of my favorite columnists and authors, Bill Roden out of New York, wrote a book called Million Dollar Slaves. Million Dollar Slaves. That's what some of those folks are. They make tremendous amounts of money. I've had a running battle with the NCAA for over, I don't know, decades. I've been against the NCAA for a long, long time. I hate them. I hated Miles Brand. But no, I hate Emory, the cat that's in there now. Just like I hate Dabo Swinney. Dabo Swinney, who coaches Clemson University, who during an interview mentioned to him, somebody mentioned to him about paying athletes. Oh no, they shouldn't get paid. In fact, if that's whenever they get paid, that's when I leave. I'm out of here. His ass made millions because he won the national championship twice. His team is consistently up there, and he'll probably be in the national championship hunt again. He's now made $7-8 million a year on salary alone, let alone all those other revenue streams I had mentioned before. What you call got COVID? Nick Saban of Alabama got COVID. He's not. This is the second time catching COVID. He will not be on the field, of course. I think he makes $11 million in salary. Once again, the athletic programs of major universities across this country, the coach makes more money than the professor, than any tenured professor. He makes more money than the chancellor or the president of the university. Sometimes 10 times as much or more. Athletics is the big money maker on the campus, not even tuition. And tuition, of course, has constantly gone up and up and up. And many legislators, I don't know if it's many, but some legislators, might be a more appropriate word, are advocating doing absolving students of the debt that is owed. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. I hope that it would. I know that was cool of the brother who was at Morehouse and told, in a surprise during the commencement, he was the commencement speaker, that he will pay off their student loans, that they will owe nothing. And now they will be able to go out with no debt and seek their careers without worry. You know, higher education is high as hell. And depending upon the school you go to, it's extremely high. Some schools are, quote, prestigious. They're elite. And they cost a lot. They cost tens of thousands a semester over a four-year period or longer. It might be $200,000 or a quarter of a million that a student would incur to go to that university and get the degree named after that university, a degree from Harvard, a degree from Yale, the Ivy League schools, or another prestigious university or big time university. And although that doesn't guarantee anything, but you have a degree from that big university. You know, and I know that they really want football to happen. And so, once again, I looked at Dabo Swinney's ass. He's adamant about playing football. I know, because if they don't, he don't get paid. If he doesn't, if they don't play, he does not get paid. Nobody gets paid if they don't play. But my contention was, do you have students in school? If you ain't got no students in school and you just have athletes there and you want to, you know, no students in the stands and so forth, but you just because you want to get paid because of the TV contracts and all the other ancillary things that happen and revenues that come into the university. And these major universities, their facilities are state of the art because of the amount of money. When you don't have to pay the people who are bringing it, it is the players. If the players say, we ain't playing, then nothing could happen. But they don't have the courage because they don't have the leadership. I wish I had the ability to form a players' union to get the players to say, I recognize that if we don't play, ain't nothing happening. So we're saying to these universities, these conferences of the Big Ten, the Pac-10, the SEC, that's the Southeastern Conference, and the SEC and the ACC, the Athletic Coast Conference, all of these big-time conferences that have all these big-time programs. If you don't figure out a damn way that we as players can get some compensation. You know, I thought of a way many years ago when I was at the firehouse. You know, because I ain't been at the firehouse in what? 14 years. 14, damn, Oshi. But I had an argument and discussion with a couple of the cats there. I said it could be done. You know, that they come up with the idea to provide a stipend for the players. So much money that they would get and so much money would be held for them. And the fact that they did not have to go to class. One of my favorite players is Richard Sherman. He plays for San Francisco and I played for Seattle, part of the Legion of Boom. They won the Super Bowl. They lost the second year, damn it, to the Patriots, damn it. But he's it. He went to Stanford. He didn't go on an athletic scholarship because he's sharp. He said, it's extremely difficult to be a college athlete and attend college courses. Many times it's shown out that players are not prepared for the academic rigors of college. They're prepared for the athletics. They're athletes. Many of these kids have gone through school, even have been pampered and pushed through school because of their athleticism. And yet, they are moved through school. I never forget. Marla Collins had a school. She's an ancestor. She had a school in Chicago. I'm not sure if the school is still in existence in Chicago. One of the first few independent schools or, you know, outside of the public school or parochial. And I'm saying that to say because there was a brother that played for Creighton University. Creighton University in Omaha, Nebraska, the Blue Jays. And for 4 years, they used this brother. They used him up. He played basketball. He was height. He had good height. And I don't know if he was that great because I don't remember him playing in the pros at all. You know, but once his eligibility was used up, he was kicked to the curb. He couldn't read. Charles Manley, who played for the Washington team, no longer called the, exactly, I like that. I hope they choose an appropriate name, but whatever. He played for Washington. He couldn't read. There's a lot more people who can't read, especially today, because of, you know, how the technology is. He couldn't read. And so this brother from Creighton, you know, realizing what happened to him, he sued. But aside from the suit, he went to be educated. He went to Chicago, and Marva Collins allowed him, his 6'7" ass, to sit in the classroom in these tiny ass desks and chairs with elementary, not high school. He went elementary to learn how to read. All the way he graduated in a short amount of time, and he became an educator. He became a teacher because of how and what happened to him. They use you up and kick you to the curb. Not every player out there will do that. And I know every player, when any and every player, and this could be keeping it real, their desire is to do one thing, and that is make it to the NBA or make it to the NFL. The chances of them making it to those sports leagues is minuscule. It is minute. So my contention was that those players be given a college act. They don't go to class. They represent the college. They represent the university. They get paid a stipend, and they play for the university, and they practice hard, and they do this and that and the other. They have the benefit. They stay at the university. They're like an employee of the university. They're not a student athlete. See, that was one thing that happened. They used that term. No, they're not athletes. They're students. They're student athletes. They intentionally used that damn term to prevent those men and later women from getting compensation. They're not athletes. They're students. They're part of the university. They go to school. But this proposal is that they go to school, but not classes. They go to school to play basketball. They go to school to play football. And the university gives them some stipend and holds money for them when their eligibility is over. And then when their eligibility is over, the university gives them an education when they want it. Say, for instance, he played for USC, which is one of my favorite schools. I love USC from back when I was a kid. And he's played at USC for 4 years. His playing is over. He did play for the NBA, or he did play for the NFL. He didn't play long, and now he wants to go back to USC for his education. And USC is required to give him an education when he feels it is necessary or needed, and give him an advanced degree. It's a damn seat. It's a seat. There ain't no damn money coming out anything. It's a seat that he will occupy and to learn. And maybe the books and so forth. I don't know if the professor or whoever will get more money if there's more people in the seats. I don't think so. But he would and could take advantage now of his education. And he could work hard to get an advanced degree. That's what I would propose. It definitely could be done. You know, they gave the opportunity to eat some more grub when Bashir Napier of Connecticut mentioned the fact that many nights he went hungry. Shabazz Napier. He went hungry in his dorm. You know, because he had no money, couldn't access. So what happened is that the NC2A would just provide you some more snacks, provide you the ability to get some more food. I'm telling you, I hate the NC2A. I hate the fact that these coaches are making millions and millions, predominantly Caucasians, of course, millions, the athletic directors, the assistant coach, everybody making money. The assistant coaches making hundreds of thousands of dollars, more so, once again, than professors and teachers and educators and administrators in the university. Assistant coaches and specialized coach, defensive coordinator, the offensive coordinator, the program. So because it is, I understand it. And because of television, ESPN, ABC, CBS, Fox, they all making money. Notre Dame has a contract with NBC for quite a few years, paying them millions of dollars. And yet, the men on the field who put their lives on the line, because especially as not necessarily as basketball players, I have seen some bad injuries as basketball players. I remember the NCAA tournament, Louisville, that brother had a compound fracture of his lower leg, a tib fib, and you seen the bone sticking out. Yeah, yeah. But there are some serious injuries in football. Serious injuries in football. And people risk their lives. And although in college, they try to safeguard, now they have this rule that, you know, if they stop the game, they look at a play, and if they determine that the player was using his head or the crown of his helmet, and he was targeting a player, they will penalize him and kick him out the game. You know, football is a collision sport. It's what it is. And a lot of times, you know, they're trying to make it safer, especially in the NFL for quarterbacks, because quarterbacks are the big money. Quarterbacks are team leaders. They want to make sure that the quarterback is safe. You know, you touch the quarterback in a certain way. I mean, you know, I watch a lot of the old games. Some games I watched even from the 50s, 60s, definitely, 70s, definitely. You know, I watched these games on YouTube, and you see some of these quarterbacks, they be getting blasted. I mean, they be taking some serious hits. But that was back then. And obviously now, because understand, some players are bigger, faster, stronger. The evolution of the athlete, you know, when you watch sports from decades ago, especially when it was all Caucasians, you know, didn't have no athleticism. In fact, an athletic individual would just dominate them like a Red Grange, you know, be moving and off. Humans started to prepare themselves from exercise, weight training, other methods of increasing their speed and height and jumping ability, all of these things, the evolution of the athlete. And so particularly in football, you're talking about it can be much more dangerous. That individual can blast you. Yeah. So that's what I've always proposed, that these players in the big conference, the big money-making conference. I ain't talking about all of football, because football in Division III, football on a state level, no. But if it's the big money-maker, it's the university of this, the university of that, this conference, major conference, the five major conferences, no, they should pay these men particularly for their service, for risking their mental and physical health. Because in the NFL, it has been proven of the mental situation that these guys have taking these hits for over periods. And some of these kids, some of these men have been playing football since they've been like 5, 6, 7 years old. Some of them, like my grandson, my small grandson, he was a hitter. He was a hitter. Do we have a call here? Caller 443-443-676. Good afternoon. Caller 443-676. Good afternoon. Just want to listen.
Good afternoon, Brother OG. How are you? Can you hear me?
I sure can. Go ahead. How you doing today?
Brother, your show is fantastic.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you listening.
Look, I heard Brother John Thompson, bless his soul, his ancestor now, he said something that resonated with me years ago about athletes being paid in college. He said that the athletic system, NCAA, is trying to make something pure that is no longer pure.
Right.
In other words, they were saying we're playing for the college, we're playing for the school. But the reality is, this is a business, bro.
Right. It's a huge business.
And one of the things that these Caucasians have done so successfully, they have managed to develop a business model. Even with professional football, you hear people say things. You never hear someone say, man, I'm going to my Walmart because that's my Walmart. But we will say, I'm going to see my Steelers or my Ravens or my,
good point,
or my Washington football. And yeah. So that business model has brainwashed you into believing that you have part ownership. I've never gone to a football game for free. I've always had to pay.
Exactly.
So if it's my team, why don't they let me in for free? And these people know that once you start to give a stipend to these children in these schools, the door is cracked and it will be busted wide open, because here comes the union. Here comes the employee status. If there is no such thing as a student athlete. We know that. There never has been. A guy get a degree in basket weaving, he plays football. That, what does that do for him?
Right.
And even if he does, and even if they highlight the athletes, the students who do really well, the ones that are really smart and can play sports, which are very few. But you're right on point with this, brother. They're going to have this conversation. They're pushing it and prolonging it as long as they can. But the money that is generated by the athletic department in these schools is nowhere near what, brother. It is amazing. But that's all I have to say. Yeah. Thank you, big brother, for letting me speak.
Oh, man. Thank you for calling, man. Thank you for listening. I appreciate it. You have a blessed and wonderful weekend. Hopefully, we'll be back together listening next Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, my brother. Appreciate it.
I will. Love your show, man. And keep doing it.
Right on.
Peace.
Oh, he is right. He's definitely right. That's what happens. And I think it's going to happen. Now, what the NAC2A said it was going to do in terms of a player can take advantage of his likeness, you know, is really bull. Because it's only a few players, a handful, very few, on the college level that can say, I have notoriety, I have cachet, so to speak, and I can take advantage of that you know, having a poster, having a jersey, having something that could be directly associated with him by that university. Very few. It was bull when it was proposed, you know. And it started out with the brother from UCLA who played basketball at UCLA. And Ed O'Bannon. And he was watching a commercial and they had him in the video game.
There was his image and likeness was being taken advantage of again. He got taken advantage of at UCLA being a player, and now he's being taken advantage of again. He won the suit. He won the suit. But it goes beyond just image and likeness. It is your service that should be compensated by that university, because you are an act as an employee, and it definitely can be done. Number one, you got to knock down the salaries of coaches, particularly head coaches, who are making millions. Bring that into some kind of rational understanding and equitable compensation. These cats are making millions, tens of millions of dollars. You know, and also two other areas of the athletic department of the major university. I ain't talking about those who are outside of the major university, because they, you know, those programs are small and they don't make that kind of money. Granted, I understand. They're saying, well, if it was not for these black guys playing in basketball, playing in football, then these other sports could not, we couldn't afford them. We couldn't afford the baseball team, the tennis team, the golf team, because they don't generate no money. And they're mostly played by Caucasians. And of course, we're not charging them to play. We pay them because we don't pay them. We offer them a scholarship to come to my school and play golf. We offer them a scholarship to come to my school to play tennis. But the reason why they can do that is because they have the big money from basketball and football, which is predominantly, particularly those who are playing. I remember they had these brothers on the basketball team. They were starters, but then they had all these Caucasians who they offered, because they just said, oh, we got to offer the Caucasians something. We just can't have a whole damn team of brothers. We got to offer these Caucasians something. So basically, they were the scrimmage squad. You know, they sit on the bench and cheer and so forth while these cats is out on the field. Man, listen, man, it's been a good day. Enjoy this day and enjoy the weekend. Remember, it is Buy Black Friday. Buy Black, not Black Friday. Buy Black. Go out and seek a business in your community and support it. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day and a great weekend. You be safe out there. Hope to see you back here again on Monday. Shem Hotep, that means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bivihodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Peace, family.